favorite type of music is something I've never heard of, but it doesn't sound like fun.
I think it's very fun. It's called nerdcore hip hop. It's
nerdcore hip hop.
Yes. It's.
Hey, welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We open the entire show with Suck It Trebek by Megaran and MC Lars. I guess they're on tour still.
Are they?
They were here, and then with MC Chris. I say they were on tour. I think they were the companion acts to MC Chris. I don't know if MC Chris is on tour. I think he is, but they were on tour also, and they happened to just cross.
They were in Baton Rouge.
They were at that intersection point. But anyway, this is the show where we drop nerd and geek knowledge on you all the time,
every Wednesday
from 9 to 10. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about this one because it's Tomb Raider's anniversary, man. Happy birthday.
Very happy.
Yeah. I love
it. Makes me happy too, I'm gonna be honest.
I love Tomb Raider. In fact, it's not quite yet. It's actually going to be it's next Tuesday. Yeah, so
okay.
we are a couple days ahead.
But time to start celebrating.
It's time to start celebrating. If you haven't done this yet, you probably should go and buy and play all the Tomb Raider games.
Just
all of them. At least the 2013 and the 2015 games, because they're so good. But I've actually been playing a lot of the old school games. We just went through all the plot for all the games.
That was some fun research. That was
an interesting research phase. We're going to talk about a little bit of that later. What we're going to talk about right now is our website. We have a lot of our music, a lot of our audio, a lot of our websites.
We're making music.
We're going to make music. We have a lot of that. It's online. Bear, what is the website?
You get to exppoints.com if you remember to double tap the P.
We also have social media, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, the like that. Even YouTube. It's at exppoints.com/social. That's the landing page. Check it out. You can all head and look at all that stuff and
like,
subscribe, follow, all that stuff. exppoints.com/servers. We have a game servers up there. We're on iTunes. We're on Patreon. We're on PayPal. We're on Stitcher. We are on all of those
things. There's really no excuse for you to not be listening to us.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to cut to a song real quick, come back, talk about some things that happened last week, some things we did last week, and then we're going to really quickly go into our next segment. This is All the Things by Dual Core. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Baron.
You're listening to this exclusively on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Not every geek with a Commodore 64 can hack into NASA.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was All the Things by Dual Core. Bear, what did you do last week?
I did a few things last week, actually.
What did you do?
So I bought this shiny new laptop.
I see it. This is a Yoga.
Yes, a Yoga from Lenovo.
I'm more flexible than we are.
Much, much more flexible. I need a new happy medium between my Lenovo 100S,
yeah,
which is the super cheap, very thin. I don't even know what you call it. Netbook?
It's not a netbook. Because it's thinner and it's bigger. It's an ultrabook. Well, it's an ultra thin book.
It's a tiny
power
cheap
of
computer.
A netbook, size of an ultrabook.
Okay. So
it's like a tablet. Tablet keyboard.
But
keyboard with a tablet and a keyboard. Anyway.
It's a very low power.
It plays
cheap.
Undertale, okay?
It played Undertale. It still does. And then I also have the Lenovo P70, which is like their flagship hardcore workstation.
Yeah, it's got like a 4K screen. It's heavy.
ISP display.
The battery is Xeon processor. It's only like a 1 hour battery, I'm guessing, right?
I've never tried to run it on battery. Okay. It has close to like a 300-watt power supply.
That's ridiculous for a laptop. But anyway.
So ended up with the Yoga so I can take something, carry around campus much easier.
Okay.
And I've had it for a few days now. I love it. It's orange, which is cool, so I won't lose it.
We expect a tech review.
You expect a tech review?
I expected a lot of things.
You've expected a lot from me.
3 years
and I've delivered
later.
Maybe one.
Yeah. it looks really nice. I'm always loving the hinges on
the watch band style.
Yeah, the watch band style hinges really, really get it. That's
so
nice.
I
don't like it whenever laptops do the thing where your keyboard's on the bottom. So whenever it goes all the way upside down like that. Yeah, like you squish it the other way, you can still feel it. And what if you set it down too hard on something that has like a raised section? Like you're gonna screw up the keyboard.
I mean, don't slam your computer around.
I guess. Oh yeah, that's the way to do it.
But
what else did you do this weekend?
I did that. I took notes on this laptop, so I know what I did. I played a crap ton of Star Citizen, which is a new surprise for everyone.
I actually updated it and I jumped in it too as well.
What was happening was the free flight week, so they had a whole bunch of ships that normally you don't have available to play.
I didn't fly anything really. I was just trying to see if my computer could still run it and like at what optimized whatever, and it can, and it not very well at the whatever settings I had. So,
Well, the P70 runs it like a dream now.
Yeah,
and it was just really fun to play with some other ships. Did that, got the yoga. One of my friends, Heather, introduced me to a new internet text-based game.
What is it?
It's called A Dark Room.
Okay.
I actually started playing it today. I have no idea what's going on, but I can't stop playing it.
You have no idea what's going on in this game that you've been playing.
Right, but I can't, like, there's no explanation for what's happening. All I know is I'm in a room, there's a fire, I can put wood in the fire, there's a stranger with me who turns out to know how to, they're like a construction worker or something, they build things.
Okay.
So, and then stuff kind of happens.
Is it like a mud? Like a...
No, it's not like a mud, it's just like a text-based game, it's a single player.
It's like Mafia Wars?
But like, it is based off of time, so like, the events happen, like you'll hear sounds, so you can go investigate them. But you don't have like any control over like in how you investigate. You're just like, I'm going to investigate or I'm going to ignore. You know, you just like,
okay,
like a Boolean type of value.
All right. Interesting.
Again, I will update you on that next week. Hopefully more will have happened in game and I'll be able to tell you more about it.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Currently I'm in a dark room.
What's so interesting is I have no idea what's going on in this game. I think that's what's drawing me into it.
Very.
So, and then one other thing I did this week, and it's, for me, even, it's something interesting. A couple of my friends off the internet convinced me to go to a con with them in December.
Okay.
So I purchased the tickets to it, and it's a new type of con for me. And I've been to a lot of cons. It's Midwest Fur Fest.
Oh, wow.
So,
ooh-wee. Are you dressing up or no?
I'm not dressing up for this one.
You don't have to have a full costume. We can buy felt or something and just glue it to you.
I feel like I'd be like super.
We could do like spray adhesive and then throw pieces of carpet on you.
So this will be my first, I guess, furry con to ever attend.
This will be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Are you gonna you gotta wear like a badge cam or something like
a badge cam?
Like a what do police officers wear?
Oh, the body cams.
You need to wear a body cam for this entire thing.
So yeah, again, I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I have a lot of friends who are into that type of fandom,
right?
And they basically are dragging me along. I'm excited to try something new, honestly, because I go to a lot of cons and fairs and events. From folk type of things to Comic-Con. And in fact, I was just at a Comic-Con.
Right.
So, yeah, it'll be nice to experience something different, I guess. A different part of culture.
You'll have to let us know how that goes.
I will definitely follow you
up. We'll know.
I think that's like December 1st.
Okay, so we got a little bit of time. A couple more shows before that happens.
So, yeah, I'll definitely do a follow-up after I get back from that.
I played a lot of RimWorld this week.
Oh, yeah?
RimWorld's one of those games where I could play it on a laptop without, you know, I'm not on my big computer. My house is still getting put back together, so... I haven't put my big computer back in my house yet. So
a good laptop.
At night, yeah.
Like a P70.
Right. So RimWorld, I did play and beat the new DLC that came out for Rise of the Tomb Raider for the 20th year anniversary. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later.
Yeah,
so
you would think that I'll have actually played some Tomb Raider stuff, but I didn't.
Well.
Because I'm horrible.
Eh. Tomb Raider's like, we're going to wait. We're going to wait because...
In fact,
you know what? That's all that I did this week. We're going to talk about the rest of it in the next segment. But I did want to say, Alex Trebek is actually getting some pretty fiery comments.
He gave us a song at least, or two.
Two.
Didn't we have two this year?
Yeah, we have two. We're going to play the next one right now.
Okay.
So what happened is on a recent episode of Jeopardy, one of the contestants, Susan, I think it aired middle of last week, one of the contestants, Susan, wrote there just one of those little talking points that people talk about in the show about what your favorite type of music is. And Trebek said, I don't think I know anything about your favorite type, because she wrote nerdcore hip hop.
Which is
awesome. So we heard it at the very beginning of the show. He asked her, you know, what's nerdcore hip hop? And he straight up, she explained it. And then he straight up called her, like losers.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, what? You know, and now so, it's Alex Trebek.
What amazes me about us losers is all the, like, the music and everything yeah. they've come up with in, like, a week.
Right, right. The first one was Mega Ran, MC Lars, I think LHK or TLK or whatever. That was just, that was the tip of an iceberg. That was the tip of the iceberg.
I think this next one's a huge collab project.
Beefy, yeah, Richie Branson, MC Frontalot, MC Lars, Mega Ran. Oh, there's so many people. I'm leaving a ton of people. Dual Core on the mic, just tons of people.
Yeah,
tons of people.
Again, I want to emphasize less than a week.
We're going to they make that point. They make that in the song. They make a point to say that this is who is Alex Trebek. We'll catch you after the break. We're going to talk about Tomb Raider and the 20 years of Tomb Raider. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Losers, in other words.
Well, I think. Sure.
No, I'm teasing you.
Suck on it, Trebek.
No, I'm teasing you.
Suck it, Trebek!
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Who is Alex Trebek featuring. All right, get ready.
Alex Trebek.
MC Frontalot, Schaefer the Dark Lord, Beefy, MC Hawking, Richie Branson, Mikael Cahill, Samus, YT Cracker, Dual Core, Jesse Dangerously, MC Lars, Mega Ran, Dr. Awkward.
I think this is almost all of Nerdcore.
It was
so good job on kicking a hornet's nest.
That was most of Nerdcore right there. So yeah. Good job, guys.
Woo! I'm proud of you guys, honestly.
We are hitting a crucial moment in time for 20 years.
7:30?
This October, yeah.
In pre-recording?
October 25th, 1996 was an awesome day because we decided to, I said we decided.
We made this conscious decision.
We made this conscious decision. No,
you and I.
Was that when
we decided to make time travel?
No.
Was that 96?
No, I don't think so.
I think it was.
We got our first taste of one of gaming's most pivotal, game-changing, lifelong or long-term roles, as iconic as Super Mario Brothers, as big of a deal as game series like Ridge Racer, or more so, Crash Bandicoot, that will forever resonate, and there will always be a game like this. There will always be a game like this because the game series, the game landscape forever changed after this game came out, after this iconic character was brought to life, and we'll never ever have...
I know what he could be talking
about. We'll never have a game, I think a gaming generation, that doesn't have a game like this for that generation, just because of what it brought to life and the significance of it. I'm talking about Tomb Raider. Well... More on that later, but I'm talking about Tomb Raider. For other games have done for the gaming kind of landscape to change things and just add and change things for gamers, Tomb Raider has done a significant amount of changes. It's done a lot.
It really, really has.
It was one of the first games to really have an action-oriented aspect that had a female protagonist.
Right.
You know, and granted, you could argue with Super Metroid.
But you didn't really find that out until the end, huh?
Right, and it didn't really play a point in the game. It wasn't, there wasn't a lot there.
Which there was also something to be said about downplaying.
Right. Well, and
gender roles
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, in Metroid's case, it was a suit. We just had a suit.
Right, yeah.
You had a suit, you had a faceless person.
Honestly didn't matter.
Right.
That's my point. That's also
Samus,
a cool first.
Samus was not an icon. She became an icon. She eventually matured into a symbol, but Lara Croft was a symbol. That was a statement. She was a brand.
Yeah.
And she still is, despite being drugged through the mud of what we're going to talk about. So let's talk about way back in the day, okay? Way back in the day, and we're talking about this latest series has been completely rebooted in 2013.
Right, yeah.
Tomb Raider. In 2015.
Or is it Tomb Raider?
No, it's Tomb Raider.
It's just Tomb Raider?
And then in 2015, we got Rise of the Tomb Raider, which would infer that it's the Tomb Raider, but it's just measured. The game is Tomb Raider.
Okay. But that's when.
But all of this started back in 1996. From a plot perspective, we are looking at the lost city of Atlantis.
Right.
We are going through and fighting mutants, T-Rexes, different dinosaurs, crazy, crazy things.
I remember the original Tomb Raider.
It was interesting because we finally got a third person action adventure game. That was something that really
didn't
happen before that.
Right. I don't think I actually had respect for that until later.
Well, right, because
like at the time, like I thought it was really cool, but I was also really young and I didn't realize the technical achievement that had been acquired there.
Gaming in the 90s, it was mostly first person. And even though it was first person 3D, you were able to do a lot of things like 2D.
You could like move sprites around.
2D sprite scaling was a big deal. And there's some great games that are first person shooter games back in the day. But with a 3D game that is 3D and third person, the camera had to move. And when the camera moves, you've got to maintain perspective in a lot of different ways. So this was a big achievement to have something like that come out. But there's some interesting trivia about the Tomb Raider thing specifically.
Let's talk about that.
Tomb Raider, originally by Core Design and published by Eidos Interactive, in 96, this was only six people that were making this game.
Which is insane.
It was pretty awesome.
And again, proof once again that large development teams aren't needed to deliver quality product.
Right. And now it's 100 or 1,000 or whatever. You know, you look at Santa Monica.
I'm just looking for a few good men.
Or women.
Whatever.
Originally, Core Design wanted to make sort of a globe-trotting Indiana Jones type game, third-person
Indiana
Jones.
I totally don't get that feel from Tomb Raider.
Well, no, but the big plot point the big point to make is that Lara Croft almost didn't happen. It was going to be Ferris and Horde or something. It was going to be an Indiana Jones knockoff type of character that the Ferris and Horde. I understand Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I got it. Ha.
For the people at home.
You're funny.
I know, right?
You think you're funny.
But it was not going to... It may have not been Lara Croft at all. Now, there's some shakeup about maybe they did that so that they would avoid the eventual lawsuit for intellectual property from Lucasfilm. Maybe that's why they did it. Or maybe they just wanted to... I think there's a classic tale of Toby Gard, one of the art directors there.
Right.
The only art guy, I guess, there. He says, if you're going to be staring at a character's butt for hours and hours and hours, you might as well stare at a girl's butt.
And I'll be honest with you, I have so many friends that like make that claim about the gender character they choose in something like WoW. I didn't realize that it was actually a throwback.
That's absolutely why I do that.
I didn't realize that quote was such a throwback to him.
Oh, yeah, I don't know that it's a direct... I don't know that that's a direct sort of association, but it certainly can be made.
It definitely is folded forward in geekdom.
Again, before we talk about the...
point.
Before we talk about the plot of any of the games, before it was Lara Croft, it was going to be... it was going to be Lara Cruz. So instead of L-A-R-A, it was going to be L-A-U-R-A. She was going to be Latina.
Which would have been interesting then.
She's going to be a Latino type of girl.
I think.
Yeah, so eventually when Core Design was bought, they had to change it.
Right.
Eidos kind of shifted.
Company became based out of England, right?
Yeah. They were out of Derby, England. So they literally looked in a phone book and they found someone in Derby, England.
Which is an awesome way to pick a name.
Yep.
Just flip through a phone book.
Now, back in the day, Lara Croft wasn't particularly... She was always well endowed, but not with the quality that we see her today. We don't see the thousands and thousands and thousands of polygons, tons of triangles. She only consisted of 540 polygons back in the day,
which is crazy.
That's incredibly like her chest was literally one big giant triangle.
I do remember
and then like
that.
A rectangle, and that was it. It's funny when you look at the model and the textures now. Now in comparison. Right, 540 in 96. In 2013, the same character, not the same model, clearly, but the same character, 40,000 polygons. Right?
We've improved
more than 40,000 polygons.
With our processing power.
Right. In fact, there were so few polygons in the first version of Tomb Raider that her trademark, the thing that's in all the promotional material, the CD box art, everything, the braided hair, that consisted of too many polygons. They couldn't put it in the game, which was interesting.
That's so great.
Now, Lara Croft is decidedly an icon for video
I'd say so.
In video
I
games.
I believe most people around here know who Lara Croft is.
I would hope
so. First world nations.
Right, right. And that's before, you know, gamers. It was popularized, I guess, in the cinematic world by Lara Croft being played by Angelina Jolie in the two Hollywood movies, arguably bad, but potentially good for some people movies.
They're pretty bad.
It's interesting. It's interesting when you look at some of the big firsts that, I guess, that Lara Croft did. I remember there was a... What was it? Tips and Tricks, I think, back in the day. The Tips and Tricks magazine. She was on the cover of Tips and Tricks. She was also, I think, on the cover of maybe not Time, but some big article, some big magazine about, like, this is what's happening. I remember Sports Illustrated, I think, put her in a swimsuit issue.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Which would be interesting. That's really interesting because she's totally got large breasts. Them boobs
are
big,
that's pretty much a selling point.
That's a selling point. The apparently that was by accident.
However you feel about it, but you know.
Well, apparently that was by accident. Toby Gard said that he was messing around with the model before the game came out, and one day he accidentally made her breasts 150% larger than they were intended to be. Right?
So I'm a software developer. We mess with things like, you know, just parameters all the time for fun.
Right.
I'm not buying the accident.
Well,
how do you type 150? And then compile.
It was a joke. It was an accident. And then he just left
joke
it in.
I could imagine.
He left it in because everyone was like, hey, we like that. It looks better that way.
Don't blame him.
Which is interesting because it's physically, anatomically, like, not impossible. Possible.
But it's fantasy and it's supposed to be escapism.
Right, right.
So have fun with it.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the Tomb Raider games, right? So let's Tomb Raider 1, Lost City of Atlantis, right? Pretty right cool. Now. You go through...
You like three parts of some icon or something, right? Or am I thinking of a different
game? Scion.
The Scion,
There's this artifact out there that you are contracted to find. You are sort of betrayed midway through by what we find out. And again, I'm saying this, the game's been out for 20 years, so if you haven't played it, that's fine.
Spoilers!
I'll say this. Tomb Raider 1 was originally released in 96, but I think in 2007, maybe 2003.
The anniversary?
Anniversary came out. Right. And if you give me a second, I'll remember.
That's probably a good one to play.
I think it was 2007. 2007 was an enhanced, better engine, better, same story. But
I wonder how many polygons she had in that one.
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I do not know. But Tomb Raider Anniversary Edition is a remake, reimagining of the first video game. So it's not a one-for-one copy. But it's pretty awesome. And there was a version for PlayStation 3 that was the Tomb Raider Trilogy Collection, which was, I believe it was the Anniversary, Legend, and Underworld, I think? Maybe.
Are you sure?
Maybe that was it. Yeah, I think that was it. Anyway, back to the Tomb Raider one. So you are looking for these lost Scion pieces of this artifact. When you find them, you're able to get a lot of power, but that never really goes anywhere. You actually, frequently, Lara Croft's sort of MO is that she searches for all of these reliquaries or these really, you know, cool things, but sort of just to appreciate them, not necessarily to gain power or notoriety or anything. It's always been this sort of pursuit of power, but never really the power. The power wasn't the thing. The power was the... That was the drive, but that was never the end goal. It was just to find the stuff, to raid them tombs, bruh.
Wow, you know? I'm glad you get the title.
You know, so we actually were playing around with the title earlier, and was like, "What if she was Tome Raider? Like she raids libraries or something?
Or like was trying to shell books during the apocalypse or
right,
something?
Right. So Tomb Raider 1 solidifies or is centered around finding this. This person who used to be one of the leaders of Atlantis and was kicked out and dethroned and put in stasis for thousands of years.
Banhammer.
Right, banhammered out of Atlantis. And then we sort of just don't know what happens to her. So it leaves her up to come back, which she, and spoiler alert, she does. Jump to Tomb Raider 2. This is minor kind of side note for me. This is my first game I've ever played on PlayStation 1.
Mine was definitely Crash Bandicoot. The warped one.
Yeah. Crash warped.
Yeah.
A little bit of trivia about Tomb Raider 1. Tomb Raider 1 was primarily developed on the Sega Saturn because Sony at the time was like, we are really, really particular about what we're going to put on our consoles. Now, at the time, Sony was really the only disc-based console, ignoring the Jaguar from Atari.
Yeah.
But it was the only console that was really making a lot of headway compared to, you know, Nintendo had their console out, but that was fine. And then the Sega Saturn wasn't doing particularly well. Little did we know that it would eventually become Sega CD and Sega Dreamcast, and that would just do worse. But
poor Dreamcast.
Sony relented in the final days. They said, "Hey, we'll go ahead and we'll let this be on our console." So they added it to their. They finished the code.
Right.
It was compatible enough, and they improved on it for the PlayStation. But there's still a version out there for Sega Saturn.
So that's the thing that exists
as far
in reality.
As far as I'm aware, there are versions now on Windows, Mac, Android, and iOS for Tomb Raider 1, Tomb Raider 2, and Tomb Raider 3.
Oh, fancy.
And, of course, on the PlayStation 1 for 1, 2, and 3. But notice 2 and 3, that never went to Sega Saturn. So right. Tomb Raider 1 only went to Sega Saturn. Anyway, so Tomb Raider 2 comes out in 97, almost a year after that, because Tomb Raider was such a breakout hit. It sold 7 million copies. It was fantastic. It was amazing. Such a critical, crucial success, and it shaped everything that came past it. But it did do one thing that was bad. Not immediately bad, but later on it did something that was bad.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It set up sort of this iterative cycle of Tomb Raiders. Call of Duty. It was the Call of Duty. Every year we need to have a Tomb Raider. So sure enough,
creativity,
in 1997.
I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Well, think about it. October 26th. That was 96. That was Tomb Raider 1. October 31st, 97. That was Tomb Raider 2. Almost exactly 1 year later. Now they improved upon the original engine. They gave her a couple new moves. They changed a little bit about how she looked. And they kind of changed her as a character because she was supposed to be this aristocratic, sort of tough as nails, not taking crap from anybody type of thing. And they sort of sexualized her a little bit more in Tomb Raider 2 to the point that Toby Gard, the guy that we had been quoting since, and he left. Now, he won't be gone forever. He'll come back later. But he left kind of not seeing his creation, something he helped make.
I definitely don't blame him for once his IP got out of hand.
Right. Now, Tomb Raider 2 is my most favorite in the series, the new ones notwithstanding, because they're really good games, but they're completely different. Tomb Raider 2, I think, held a special place in my heart because it was challenging, and I felt that I was special that I was able to play these games. It was a very adult-themed puzzle.
Is this the one that you had on the computer at the Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did play that
one. This was a hard game because games used to be hard. And
yeah, games used to be really hard.
It helped me develop an appreciation for, you know, if I have to run exactly one block and then jump, and that's a long jump versus, you know, standing up to the edge and jumping, that'll get you
died
two,
a lot
one square, two squared. Yeah, you know, it was this good game, but from a plot point, we were chasing down the dagger of Zion. We were in China, we were in Italy. We were at the bottom of the ocean in 40 fathoms.
Very reminiscent of Indiana Jones.
It was really, really good. We ended up going to China. We find Marco Bartoli. I'll remember that guy's name forever. He was an Italian mafia leader. He ended up turning into a dragon. You had to gun the dragon down and steal the dagger before he kills him. Now, the interesting thing is Lara Croft never really was super sexualized in the first one. In fact, she only killed like 6 people. In the second one, tons of people died. She was a wrecking ball.
Killing equates to sexualization?
Well, no. But she wasn't very.
That's what it just sounded like.
Sorry. They did a bunch of different things. I'm leading up to the sexualization thing.
You leaped in logic.
At the very end, well, she kills hundreds of people in the game. At the end of the game, she's at her manor. That was a cool thing because you could explore her house in the first game and then in the second game as well and in the third game. And I think they missed the boat in the fourth and fifth games.
Rip.
But they at the end of the game, she guns down a bunch of the men that came to the mansion to kill her. And at the very end, she's going to take a shower and she like takes off her bathrobe. You don't see anything. There's no nudity. That's a trivia point we're going to talk about in a little bit. She takes off her bathrobe, and she looks at the screen, and she's like, "Don't you think you've seen enough?" And she shoots the camera with a shotgun.
Half
you know, she like she
break.
Brings it up and shoots the camera.
Literally fourth wall
and
broken.
It's fourth wall broken, which was interesting. It was nice. I didn't have a comparison to the first game because I didn't play that first. I played the second one before the first one.
I gotcha.
But I can understand the sort of the big change in direction. Was it good? I don't know, maybe. Was it
did
bad?
Did it sell copies of the game?
It maybe. Sold copies, yeah. That sold about 6 million copies or 5 million copies of the game. It was, of course, a commercial success, so good right. job. And I feel this was a really good game. I remember very, very fond memories of this.
Oh, that's good.
Moving forward, November 1998, just a little over a year later, Tomb Raider 3 comes out.
I did not realize
Tomb Raider 3 had some pretty interesting... It looked almost like the same game, but it felt like it had more there. It felt like we were doing more. You're going to investigate a meteorite strike, or pieces of meteorite that spread all across the world. You get to choose two or three of the destinations to go to at any given order. You end up getting contracted by this researcher.
Yeah, I did play this one.
And to find these pieces of artifact, these pieces of the, they call it the, what's it called?
I don't know. I didn't play it.
I can't remember. The Infada Stone or something like that. Anyway, you go and you find all these pieces. You bring it back to this scientist in Antarctica. Finds out that he's been mutating his own men and doing some experiments with the power of this meteorite. You end up having to kill this guy, obviously.
Isn't that how it always ends?
You end up killing the bad guy, but you go to Antarctica. This wasn't a bad game. Not by most means. It wasn't a bad game. But at this point, it started to kind of... It did better than the second one, believe it or not. Okay. The second one, I believe, had 5 million... I think. Let me double check that real quick. Yeah.
Live fact checking.
Yeah, yeah. So the first one had 8 million. Wait, what was it?
I don't know.
Oh, no. Tomb Raider 2. Tomb Raider 2 was the best one. So Tomb Raider 1 had 6.
Okay.
Tomb Raider 1 had 6. Tomb Raider 2 had 8 million. Tomb Raider 3 had 6.5, which was pretty good, but it was a downward turn compared to Tomb Raider 2.
Right.
And
I guess that's once the iterative cycle kind of started setting
that's
in.
That's when people started to kind of, you know, they started to realize, like, wasn't that good in comparison. Still good. I mean, still, you know, not bad at all. Excuse me, a minor fact check change. 7 million for Tomb Raider 1, 8 million for Tomb Raider 2,
okay.
And then 6.5. So it was the lowest point in the series at that time. And then we started
kind
hitting Tomb Raider 4, Tomb Raider 5, Last Revelation and Tomb Raider 5.
Tomb Raider 5, is that the one where they killed her off?
No, but spoiler alert! Tomb Raider 4 is The Last Revelation.
Okay.
So they ended up killing off Croft.
Yeah, forever,
but
yeah.
They did that because they didn't think that it was going to keep lasting. You know, and again, they came out with Tomb Raider 3 in November of 1998. November 1999, of course, they released Tomb Raider The Last Revelation, or Tomb4.exe, if you ever hacked the game. They had a lot of pressure to keep making Tomb Raider games.
Right,
and,
to bring in that money.
And so because of the previous game's sort of lower turnout or whatever, they wanted to try to shake things up. So even though they killed Lara Croft off, they still sold 5 million units, which was still good, but again, 6.5 down to 5. So there's a lot of downward trending. The interesting thing, plot-wise... I liked Tomb Raider: The Last Revelation. It seemed like it was better graphics wise, but I realized it might not be. They just changed the menu up, and maybe they expanded the palette.
That's
and
possible.
They did this weird thing where before, if someone was talking in the game, they would just kind of shake their head, Metal Gear Solid style, sort of.
Right.
In
honestly, how I talk
in Last Revelation, In Last Revelation, they actually changed out the textures for the mouth on the individual characters, so that even though it wasn't very lip synced, it was still moving lips, which was interesting. That was nice. That was something that was cool. They did things like open hand gestures and just changes in face. Like, the eyes would change every now and then.
That expression.
It seemed better. It was like Fear Effect, if you remember Fear Effect 1 and 2. After selling 5 million copies, they decided to kill Lara Croft off or whatever in this game. You did get a little bit of backstory for Lara Croft, though. Werner von Kroy is your mentor. It starts when she's 16. You get a bit of a flashback tutorial episode where we leave him trapped inside of a big sort of tomb, I guess. And then throughout the game, we find out that he obviously escaped. We didn't leave him for dead, or we did, but he came back. Anyway, it's Egyptian set. It's an Egyptian setting. We're trying to stop the god Set from being released by collecting Horus's armor and amulets, and then releasing Horus to kill Set and lock him and tomb him forever. At the very end of the game, though, it is sort of left unsaid, but sort of assumed that Lara Croft is trapped and tombed for dead. But Wernher von Kroy is excavating that tomb, so he's working on it. He's getting his back. The next game is Chronicles in the series. After that, we're going to take a short break. Okey we're going to come back. Tomb Raider Chronicles, just set days after the last revelation, the collapse of the Temple of Horus, sealing Lara Croft inside. Wernher von Kroy is excavating the area, hoping to find her alive, but there's a memorial service in her honor held by the butler, Winston.
I played this game also.
This is the low, low, low point in Tomb Raider's history.
And, of course, it's the second one I picked up.
Yeah, yeah.
go me.
It was Winston Smith, the butler, the guy you got to terrorize in Tomb Raiders 1, 2, and 3 if you went to the mansion. Father Patrick Dunstan, and then Charles Kane. They're all friends of Lara Croft. They all tell stories about flashbacks of past things. It doesn't really matter what the flashbacks are of. They're all three sort of connected, but not really connected storylines. All in the same universe, it builds to her character, and it showcases some interesting technology in the game. At the very end, though, we find that we find Lara's backpack. Wernher von Kroy finds her backpack in the excavation and declares, "My God, we found her." And we assume that Lara Croft is alive and everything is great. Unfortunately, Chronicles wasn't...
That face. His face just sank,
So here's the thing. I enjoyed playing Chronicles. I remember it's one of the first games that I think I purchased with my own money, like after working for a summer while I was... I needed my mom to buy the game, and she didn't want to buy it because it had this woman in a cat suit, like a black cat suit jumping out of a window, guns blazing. But I played it, and I remember enjoying it. I don't know if I enjoyed it because I bought it and it was something that I could do.
Right.
It only sold 1.5 million units. So in comparison, 5 million by last revelation, that was over double, almost 2.5 times what Chronicles netted. So 1.5, it was really, really bad. And it was the least successful piece of Tomb Raider. Now, after that, of course, non-game related, we had... Lara Croft Tomb Raider, Angelina Jolie in 2001.
Right.
And then we had the next one, Cradle of Life, in 2003, which wasn't particularly good. We're going to cut to a song. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the continuation of Lara Croft, sort of a remake, reimagining of the series, really. We see a return of Toby Gard. This is Broken Bride by Ludo. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Redback.
You're listening to this fantastic Tomb Raider anniversary show on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
On Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU.
I'm back
still
too.
Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You just heard Broken Bride by Ludo. We've been talking all night about sort of the first...
Matt talked a lot.
Yeah, but the first five Tomb Raider games in the Tomb Raider 20th year series. And I thought, I don't know, again, like, I got in the moment.
I just let him go, honestly.
I thought that we were going to maybe be able to spend a little bit more time on Tomb Raider, or spend more time talking about Tomb Raider, and get more through the series. But we just got through
the classic
Tomb Raider. We haven't even talked about, Legend, Anniversary, Underworld, and then we've got the two reboots, and we're not even talking about the Game Boy Color, and the Game Boy Advanced versions of the game, or the mobile versions.
Guess where this is heading, guys.
We've got a lot of other things. I would like to drop some pointless knowledge about it before we end out the show, because we're going to have to split this into a two-part show, which is fine, because the anniversary is almost to the next show next week,
right,
so we're going to straddle it.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Lara Croft released two very bad musical albums that only were out in France. They're called Lara Croft Come Alive and Lara Croft Female Icon. They came out way back in the day. It was really, really bad. In fact, the single off of Lara Croft Come Alive is a song called Getting Naked.
It's terrible.
And then another song off of Lara Croft Female Icon is called...
You want to talk about the over-sexualization of female icons?
Well, it's really bad.
Yep, there you go.
More trivia. Over 8 different models have played Lara Croft, not including Angelina Jolie. You're not one of them, I promise.
Dang, son.
And I mentioned in Tomb Raider 2, at the very end, it sort of pans away whenever she gets in the shower and she shoots the camera with a shotgun. And she says, "Haven't you seen? Don't you think you've seen enough?" People thought in the 90s, because it's the 90s,
right?
And cheat codes are a thing. And nerds
and the rumors,
geeks are geeky.
Now remember, the internet did exist, but not in the current state.
Right. It barely existed, I think, in maybe 96, 95.
It was like around Matt Gill's internet speeds back then.
It was around 6 meg, though tomorrow I will get 100 meg.
He don't have floors, but you'll have.
I don't have floors, but I'll download some.
That's great.
So all that being said, there was no nude code for Tomb Raider.
It did not actually exist.
In fact.
And I remember the Urban
and this is from Uproxx, because interestingly, Eidos actually wanted a nude code and pressured Core Design to put one in the game, but they refused. It was one of the major reasons that Lara's creator, Toby Gard, quit after only one Tomb Raider game, which is, it sort of explains why in 2 and 3 and in 4 and in 5 that she sort of got a little more sexy and a little more loose with her body language and stuff like that. But we are out of time. We will do this next week, though. We're not going to leave you empty-handed. We're going to cut two songs, but we're going to leave you. We're going to leave you two songs. We're going to come back next week. We have a website where all this stuff will be, and I'm sure we'll do a write-up. I'll do a write-up maybe on each Tomb Raider game. I love Tomb Raider. It's maybe one of my favorite series, next to Metal Gear Solid. What is our website?
You go to exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
We're on social media. You should look, like, subscribe, follow, and check it out. It's at exppoints.com/social. That's the social media landing page. Let us know what you think about what we're doing. Drop us a line. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. You can stream. You can subscribe. I did end up posting, I think, everything up to maybe September or through August. I can't remember. Up until the flood on the site. So I'm still behind several episodes, but I did post like 4 or 5 episodes. So
okay, so you guys got some more meat to listen to.
We're almost at a season 9.5 into season 10, which we're almost finished with now. So almost there. We're going to leave you with "And the Songbird Sings" by Dan Bull, and we're going to end it all out with "Mining Craft" by Professor Shy Guy. I haven't played him in a long time. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll catch you next Wednesday from 9 to 10. Remember, check us out for part 2 of the Tomb Raider anniversary, geek show.
Extravaganza.
Extravaganza. You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
And the songbird sings.